I'm Dan Orlovsky. When I'm looking for safety, I always take the extra steps and listen to Chris and Case on the Detroit Lions podcast.
Lions with it, second and goal from the eight, down six, but on the move. Chris, working from the gun, looks out to the right, now checks out that Viking defense. Takes the snap, back to pass, looks right, got Case in the end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions! That's it, packs the bag, starts the plane, this game is over! How big is that?
And now it's time to start the Detroit Lions podcast.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions podcast, your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys who run a 4-minute 40, Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions podcast. We are up to episode 140. This is the official Detroit Lions podcast for Reddit. It is the most plagiarized show in Detroit. I'm your host, Chris, and with me is my good friend and co-host, Case. How are you doing, my man?
I'm good, man. I want to share a quote Mike Zimmer had talking about me today. The thing I appreciate about him, me, besides his big balls, is that he pays attention to detail. He studies. He works real hard in preparation. And so I think all those things come into factor. I want to thank Mike Zimmer for giving me that shout out. So,
Okay. In today's show, we're going to talk about the Matt Patricia rumors. We're going to talk all about the pre-hire tension, excitement, everything around head coaches. We're going to talk about kicking off draft season. What's going on with that? Case is going to take you around the division and a whole lot more. We got a great show lined up. Case, you ready to go, my man?
I don't remember showing Mike Zimmer my balls, but there's a lot of things I don't remember. So
let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, a couple quick announcements before we start the show. We're looking for some ideas. We need your brains. Bring in the mind meld. Your favorite Star Wars stuff, right, Case? That was a Star Wars thing. Anyway,
no, love Star Wars.
Mind meld, Star Wars. No, nothing. I can't even like twist up things and get a reaction.
Just move on.
Okay, fine. So, hey, we're looking for you guys' ideas. Any kind of ideas in ways that we can engage with you on live shows. We're talking about putting some live shows together in the off season. We had so much fun during the regs that the off season seemed like a good time to hang out. We're gonna do the draft party like always. Let us know. Let us know what you think. Use the comments and subreddit and see what we can do to have some fun with you guys live and in person. Make sure to check us out and help us out on Patreon. Special thanks to Dylan from
Guam.
Ooh, Orlovsky's got some real competition. We got Michael, Matt, Eric, Joel. Both Joels, Nick, Noodle, Jeffrey, Brendan, Benjamin, Justin, John, Ross, Matthew, Morgan, Peter, Randy, Matt, G, Kalen, Scott, Greg, Lucas, David, Richard, Bryce, Chuck Nasty, Bite Me Case, Mike K, Flounderishes, Ryan, Zach, Gina, Miak, Malcolm, Dan, Gary, Peter Von Penda, Skyler, Mario, Lucas, Tim, Nicholas, Jesse, Pilo, and of course our very first donor, Mathis. Also want to call out our newest patrons, Wingsfan1, Jason, Ryan, Cameron, Paul, Taylor, Adam, Kenneth, Dalaxy, and of course, Brian B. from the hot rockin' band I Prevail. Check them out, iprevailband.com. Great, great music. And also, if you want to join the crew, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, or go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and sign up for any kind of donations, a little bit of extra special content coming for you guys. With $1 at least a month of donation. Don't forget to give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, and of course on the Twitter machine at DETLionsPodcast, DETLionsPodcast. It is the very best place to see Case
hanging out with Mike Zimmer.
Check us out and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you find us. We love those 5-star reviews. Thank you, everybody who's shared those. And also, don't forget to give us a call via Skype. That's the first way, Detroit Lions Podcast. All one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. Or you can use a regular old telephone on the Lions line, 929-33-LIONS. It's 929-335-4667. Leave us a message and get a chance to hear yourself on the show.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review This Week in Reddit.
All right, it's time to talk about all the fun and exciting things going down this week in Reddit, and we are joined again by longtime friend and lover, Jeff Risden. Riz, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, lover. I've been promoted. This is nice.
We're going to swipe up, right tonight, buddy. Oh, God.
Call me banging on the counter. It wasn't me.
All right, so let's start out with the fun. Let's get serious. There's a lot going on. There's a ton of head coaching rumors that are just tearing us up. We don't know what's going on. People trying to push numbers higher, people telling the truth, people just trying to troll people, who knows what. But we're going to have to go a little bit back in time to go forward because it's not a daily show, and we don't want to miss some of the excitement that goes on. So we're going to start out with one of the calls. Fan Sanity, we got something here from Neil.
Hey, this is Neil, still stuck in Wildcat Blue. I feel like I call too much, but you all keep playing my calls. So I've heard, of course, stupid rumors that once Bill Belichick leaves, because everyone thinks that he's leaving already, once he leaves, Rob Parker on Colin Cowherd said, the Lions make the most sense because we had his first job in 70-something with special teams coordinator. Anyway, I feel totally torn, and tell me if you feel the same way. If he came here and what if just magically won one or two Super Bowls, like I just imagine that that would happen. Could you imagine the bandwagon fans? Like I've never had to deal with that because when Barry Sanders was around, I was a kid and I wasn't really, you know, defending my Lionshood at such a young age. But now, could you imagine like Karen from accounting who wore a Paul Malu jersey 3 years ago and now wears a Wilkins jersey, you know, she's not a fan of anything, walks in with a Stafford jersey and says, oh yeah, I love Michael Stafford. And you're sitting there just like, you're so fucking fake. And then people who you know are big Packers fans or shitty fucking fans start having Lions banners on top of their Facebook. And you're just sitting there like, I've never had to defend me being a fan before. Because we haven't. I can't remember the last time I've had to defend myself being a true fan. Because whenever I say Lions, people go, oh, okay, 0-16, you know, Calvin Johnson walking away, shit like that. Could you imagine the shitty bandwagon fans coming out of nowhere? I've loved the Lions forever, even though they don't even know who the original football teams were, and they've liked a shitty expansion team that popped up in the 90s. They're like, you ain't even who the fuck are you even talking to? Anyway, besides that, small questions. How long do you think Jim Caldwell could have been in Detroit before he could have won at least a postseason game? Do you think it could have taken 8-9 years, like a Marvin Lewis situation, or do you think it never would have happened ever, even if he stayed for, say, 6-7 more years? And other than that, which 2 or 3 rookies have impressed you the most this year? All right, go Lions.
All right. That was jam-packed with action. I love how we went from 0-16 to Bill Belichick is here, and now we're won a couple Super Bowls. We got bandwagon fans. I welcome the day that we have bandwagon fans. Actually, at this point, I wouldn't mind them so much because it's been so long before we've gotten any. Beverly in counting, she can buy any Michael Stafford jersey she wants, right?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of rookies, I mean, how Agnew is the guy. Obviously, everyone else still has, you know, a role to build and a role to fill. So I don't know that I can name 2 rookies that I'm super hyped about. Of course, I hope that Davis turns into the Pro Bowler, you know, that, you know, he could be. But I mean, Agnew's the guy. You know, you get a guy that late in the draft who fills that big of a need. And so, like, he had some issues with security of the ball, and I don't think that should be ignored. I think that has been ignored by Lions fans so far. But at the same time, rookie. So I'll cut him a little slack on that. So, I mean, if I'm talking about rookies that I'm excited about, that's the guy right now. So,
yeah, no, I can't disagree with you there. Case, how about you, Riz? Who's your rookie?
I'm with Case. I like Agnew quite a bit. In fact, I had to do my voting for the Pro Football Writers Association, all AFC, all NFC, all that crap.
I wish I had Mr. Awards. Big Stuff queued up.
Yeah,
here.
There you God. Go.
Oh, yeah. Man. Not to mention, you know, just voting, but that's okay. Yeah. Go ahead, voter.
yeah. So I voted for Agnew as the not just the all rookie punt returner, but the all NFL punt returner, regardless of status.
Yeah.
So he earns that. It would be interesting to see what he can do on the defensive side of the ball at some point. We only got a brief little taste of that, but I'm excited about that. I am excited about Jared Dinks, absolutely. By the way he finished the season. He was a lot better at the end of the year. It was like he found the rookie wall and he tried to like climb through it, and then he finally figured out how to get over it or around it. And he's sort of doing that with blocks too. It's sort of a nice little analogous progression there. So I'm excited with what he can become. I still think that Reeves Maben has a big future too.
Yeah.
I like what I saw from him in limited duty. And he's a guy, he would have been a much, much more significant draft pick had he not been hurt at Tennessee a lot. So I'm big on that. Kenny Golladay, you know what? I think he can still be the third receiver. I'm not as hyped on him now after watching him more than I was when I watched him in Northern Illinois. He has to shorten his stride on his routes. Otherwise he's never going to be much more than what he was this year. Mm-hmm. But if he can,
but what he was this year isn't a waste either.
No,
like a third round guy who picks up 500 yards on deep routes. That's not like the best thing in the world, but it's not the worst thing in the world either.
You guys just want to keep talking about my rookie? That's the guy that I'm picking. You can keep talking about him if you want, or you can wait till
talk. Go ahead. We'll shift to you, Chris. Who are you excited about?
Oh, well,
who takes your pants off?
Kenny Golladay. Well, I don't know if he takes my pants off. I'd be happy if he did. I love what I saw out of him. I mean, the injury, I think, hung him up a bit this year. I think he's going to have a good off season of growth, and we're going to see some good stuff out of him. What I like the most about him is how he changes the offense. He changes the calculus on the field and how other teams have to play us. And that's what I love the most about Kenny Golladay. So that's really cool. I also, and this isn't, especially around the middle of the season, this wasn't a big happy point for people, but Jared Davis, I think he's going to be fine. He's a rookie in a pretty, pretty tough position to play as a starter day one. And he's a film head. I just think he's very, very athletic. I think with time, he's going to grow into a very, and coaching, a very, very good piece there. And then the other rookie that I got to talk about who has made huge strides this year was Eric Ebron. Boy, he started out pretty shitty. And by the end of the year, I wish his rookie year was like this year. But no, he did look good this year. So those are my guys. Okay, so let's go to the other question that he had. And Riz, we'll start with you. How long would it take for Caldwell to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop? How long would it take for Caldwell to bring us a playoff win, do you think? Is there ever like a timeline when that would have happened?
I think they could have won a playoff game this year had they made it, but they didn't. And I think they are in position to win one next year. And it wouldn't have been Jim Caldwell's fault if they did not. I wouldn't have given him a lot of credit if they did any more than I would blame him for the loss. This is a talented team. They need help. And I think help is on the way, depending on what we get with the coaching thing, which we'll talk about. But this offseason, they have so much cap room. They have decent amount of draft capital that they can use. I'm excited about what they can add. I think he could have won a playoff game with coming back next year. I really do. That's in the loaded NFC. If they were in the AFC, you can't tell me there wasn't a team last weekend they couldn't have beaten.
You know, that's and you're right. And when you said that, it hit me. Absolutely, they could have won this first round, this first week, especially with the two teams on bye. They could have pulled a win out had they made it into the playoffs. But I think that's because they're just not an 11-win team or a 12-win team. Those teams are just such next-level teams compared to who we saw play this last weekend. They would have got the one win possibly if they got in this year. I just don't think that next year, even with a new coach, looking at the teams, the strength of schedule right now, I don't think that they're going to make it in at all. I think next year is going to be a tough year to get into the playoffs for the team. Case, do you agree or am I an idiot?
No.
Those aren't mutually exclusive, I know.
Thank you for saying
that. No, they're not. But no, I mean, I think I even said on the show last week when we recorded that what we need to see out of the new coaching staff is exceeding expectations, because right now my expectation is that we are not making the playoffs next year. So whoever the coach is, and of course we're about to get into that, so hang on, it has to take this group to a level that they are not currently at in order to do that.
All right, so that was good. That was a good call. So Belichick was going to come here for, well, how long was that? Was that 36 hours?
Or 36 minutes, one or the other.
Yeah, yeah.
depends on who you were asking.
Yeah. So let's talk, as we head into the, because the rumors are swirling as we record this about Patricia.
We are still, yeah.
Coming, I think that's going.
Real quick, Chris, let's pull back the veil for a second here. It is a Wednesday evening. And we don't know what the news could possibly be by the time this releases, because things change so quickly. But
Patricia's still in the playoffs, so nothing's changing tonight or tomorrow.
Right. And nobody is going to announce that they're hiring him until at least Monday, depending on what happens with the Patriots.
Yep.
Right.
So with all that being said, let's just kind of take a step back. We heard the Belichick rumor, and this is, I think, a good place to start with all the stuff and swirl going about whether Patricia's going to New York, and then that rumor is followed by a rumor, well, no, he's going to Detroit, and oh my gosh, well, they're good sources, and they've had good people, and they've got a lot of people working for them who know people at every team and all this stuff. Let's just really quick go back. ESPN is typically a good source for sports news, and they came out with the big thing that there's all the strife and animosity and all this other stuff going on at Patriots Palace, and that it was all about Brady or Belichick or Kraft wanting the credit for how great the dynasty has been, and they're all splitting up. And how long did that last? I mean, it was about 15-18 hours of hype then before the article came out. Then the article actually came out, and it took another 12 hours before it was debunked, right? with that kind of is your filter or your lens that you're looking at this through, there's all these rumors about where they're going, where they're not going. Just woe it back a little, breathe deep. It's fun to talk about. It's fun to speculate, right? And we're going to do a little bit of that right here. But don't let your horses get out of the stable. Keep it all under control. It's going to be okay. So we'll start out first with Ruh-Roh. Rumors are rumors, but if you're a Patricia fan, this isn't a good rumor. It's from Gerfick, and it's all about Patricia going to New York and preferring New York over Detroit. Riz, how much credence do you put into this? Are we going in the Wiz and Caldwell direction again? Are we losing our first choice?
And oh, by the way, it was good that we lost our first choice on that one.
I know. I that's a whole other point.
Might be again if your prediction on how these guys are gonna, you know, progress is accurate. So
yeah, so we'll see about that. And I, to be fair, I was on Team Wiz too. As you guys know, I was on Team Belichick. Well, yeah, he'd be great too. Brian Billick was my first choice.
Oh yeah.
And Brian Billick remains he'd be my second choice. He's not going to get back into coaching, but he would be great if he could do it. Okay, let's take Patricia where the rumors are. It's from New York. He's from New York. His family lives right in the New York area. So it's not a stretch to say that that has some appeal to him rather than moving to Detroit. As much as I happen to prefer living in Michigan than I do to the hustle and bustle of the East Coast. And yes, I did live in the megalopolis for a while. People will like that a lot better than they will like clean air and open freeways and things like that.
I get that.
And again, the New York Giants are one of the marquee organizations. They're one of the most perennially successful teams. They are a driver for the NFL. And you better believe that the people who are in New York, and oh, by the way, where's the league headquartered? New York City. You don't think they want to have a hot candidate in New York? Now this is where I'm going to go on a different thing, though. I don't think that the nation sees Patricia with as rosy of glasses as what Lions fans do, judging from the interactions that I've had with them. There are a lot of there are a lot of people with a lot of questions. Number one, why is your defense 29th in the league this year when you have Bill Belichick as your mentor? You know, how much of it is really him? How much of it is Belichick? Where can you point to anything, one real thing that he's done to say why this guy's going to be fantastic? And that's true of other candidates as well, but it seems like that tends to get overlooked with Patricia. And now that the New York media is onto this and that he has apparently stated through some back channel that nobody will ever know is true or not, if that he does prefer to be the Giants, you know what? I'm not going to blame him for wanting that. If that's the kind of person that he is, that's fine. I just want a decision. And it would be great if he would say no to Detroit or you know, say, hey, either I'm going to take the Giants job or I'm going to stay here in New England. You know, A or B, so the Lions could do something different. And I think that's where I'm frustrated with this whole situation.
I agree with you. I completely think, you know, I think it's clear that the Lions as an organization would prefer Patricia right now. I think that's all Bob Quinn.
Yes, I agree with that.
But it's frustrating to sit here watching a situation unfold like we did with Caldwell and Wisenhunt. And while I'm not necessarily upset that we didn't get Wisenhunt, it's never like a long-term goal, you know, to lose out on the guy you really want at a coaching position. So yes, it is frustrating to sit here as a Lions fan and not know whether or not Patricia is the guy that we're going to get or not. If there's any credence whatsoever to this New York stuff, everything that I've seen today, because of course I spent every waking hour of the day today, you know, refreshing my browsers and et cetera. Yes. And Tinder. there's a lot of doubt, amongst Giants fans and NFL fans in general in terms of the credibility of the announcement, in terms of how likely Patricia is to go to New York. So we sit at this situation, and it's a sucky situation to sit in. Lots of alliteration there, but
you know what the worst part about it is, as a fan, and again, these are just rumors, but you get affected by them, especially after the Wiz thing. Is this a situation? Well, and I know it's not, but this is what the storyline is going to be for a lot of people. Always a bridesmaid, never a bride. What's wrong? Yeah. Why doesn't anyone want to come to Detroit? And then with that then we'll never win because we'll never get the coach that we want. Yada, 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 down. Woe is me. And slit your wrists and jump in the bathtub with a toaster, which you should get at Fanatics, by the way. But we'll go on with that later.
Let me jump real quick in here and say that I still think Patricia is the most likely candidate to come to Detroit. Like everything we've seen from start to finish, I think that is the most likely outcome.
Well, breaking news.
We're dealing with rumors right now.
Breaking news. Since we've been flooded with Matty P to New York rumors, here's a new rumor about him coming to Detroit from Roberto.
There you go.
Right? So it's same day, two different rumors. One sending him to New York, one sending him here. How worked up should you be? Riz, I mean, I know you're pacing the hallway. There's probably like a groove cut in the living room floor now. Will you ever get over it?
I cut a lot of rugs. Yes.
Oh, God.
Well, and you like Vrabel too, which like, yes. Like, so I sit here in a situation where I'm like, I want Patricia, and I get that. And like, it sucks to have to think about the aspect that maybe we're settling, but at the same time, we're settling for a guy that you wanted. And I respect your opinion on that. So like,
why don't you ever say that to me?
It's a difficult. Because I don't respect your opinion.
He doesn't lie.
Oh, you guys are both dicks.
but so like, it's just like, it sucks to get the guy to not get the guy you want and not get the guy that like is favored to you. It sucks to be the runner up. But at the same time, like, can I possibly, you know, put my enthusiasm behind this other guy? Sure, I can. Because I've heard other people that I respect, you know, have good things to say about him. So.
So the thing is, it lets you off the hook, though. If Patricia goes to New York, and no matter what happens, right, you can say, I wanted Patricia, right? If you win, you're like, hey, look at this Vrabel guy's pretty good. But I wanted Patricia. So it doesn't, I guess.
Oh, I'm not going to pretend that I didn't want Patricia.
No, I know you won't. But so lots of rumors. Would Patricia be good for the team, Riz? I think, you know, he'd have a fine place. There's some talk out there about Jim Bob Cooter being a problem in the negotiation, that Jim Bob Cooter is staying with the organization. Matthew Stafford wants him, and so he's going to make the, you know, he's basically having a word in how we're going to do the coach hire and everything. Yet when Bob Quinn was asked, will, you know, the staff or anyone else take part in determining who gets hired, he said,
yeah, no players will be involved in the interview process.
There you go. So
he like slammed that door.
Yes, he did.
He was pretty jovial throughout that entire thing, and he got that and he's like, hell no, this is my call.
Yep.
Buzz off.
So, I mean, you don't know if he's just taking responsibility for it, but it doesn't seem like it. The way, like you said, he slammed the door on that. He's standing up and he's saying that's his call and it's going to be his call. What they have right now is Jim Bob Cooter, who's on hand and going to be good. Has anybody heard? I know there was rumors of Cooter interviewing with Tennessee for the head coaching job there. Has anybody heard anything further about that in the last, I mean, it's been about a month since that one started rolling around.
Definitely hasn't progressed. He's not been, you know, there's no rumors. There's no nothing about him getting any head coaching gigs. So
what's the deal here with Jim Bob not showing, getting the love or the interest from anyone in the NFL?
Not only that, he is not linked to any other job anywhere, which either tells you one of two things: A, the rest of the world thinks he sucks, or B, the rest of the world thinks that he's staying in Detroit.
And those aren't mutually exclusive either.
He's so young. And I think that has a lot to do with it.
Like as soon as Terrell Austin got an opportunity to venture out, he did. He's now the defensive coordinator in Cincinnati. We all wish him well. I think we have fond memories of what he's done for this team. And we'll look fondly upon him. And you know, when he comes back to Detroit, I'm sure he'll get a lot of, you know, a nice rousing ovation from the Detroit fans who appreciate what he did. But he had a lot of interest. You don't hear any of that with Jim Bob, like anywhere, like not even being like a quarterback's coach somewhere. Like there's a lot of, like, Seattle, they fired their offensive coordinator, Daryl Bevel, today. And no, Lions fans, you do not want Daryl Bevel. Stay the freak away from him. You don't want anybody who's getting fired by Seattle. They're getting fired for good reason.
Tom Cable?
And Rand. Oh, God. He is the worst. He is the Rob Ryan of offensive line coaches.
I knew I could get ramped up on that one.
Oh, man. Triggered now.
Well, and I wouldn't put that out of the equation either, because, you know, we need an offensive line coach.
We don't need Tom Cable. Don't start triggering me now, Case. This is my trigger of Riz. Don't you start working on me.
I get it. I don't know if it's a downgrade.
It might be a lateral, which is bad enough. That doesn't matter. So yeah, that's boy, it's a mess out there. We talk a little bit, you know, about that. There was a great thing, and I wanna play this for you guys. This is from it was on Twitter by John Whitaker. He's at Wrath of John, and he has underscores in between the words there. But he put together a little promo. Said, "Boy, with the coaches signing left and right, the Lions must turn to other methods to promote their opening." And this is what he came up with.
Are you tired of living in the shadow of a head coach? Are you a young and passionate coordinator who wants to live the NFL dream of being a head coach? Then come on down to Martha Ford's Ford Field, because we have an opportunity for you. We recently parted ways with Jim Caldwell, and now we are looking for you to replace him as head coach of the Detroit Lions. If you are an offensive-minded coach, you will absolutely love being paired with franchise quarterback Matthew Stafford and an elite arsenal of wide receivers. As well, the Detroit Lions boast an incredible stable of running backs, from Theo Riddick to Amir Abdul, to Tion Green, to Dwayne Washington, to Zach Z. You know, you can pick your own running back in the upcoming draft. We'll let you do that, okay? If you are a defense-oriented coach, don't worry. You can let current offensive coordinator Jim Bob help establish the run game. Wait, why did you bleep out? His name is Jim Bob. I'm not allowed to say, is that an offensive name? Offensive word? You guys are idiots. I hope you know that. With stars like Darius Slay and Glover Quinn, as well as promising young players like Jared Davis and Tease Tabor, the Lions could boast a solid defense with your coaching. But wait, if you sign now, you can get a young, promising quarterback absolutely free. You can choose from University of Michigan star Jake Rudock or Brad Kaier from the University of... Yeah, what? What do you mean Kaier's not on the team anymore? He got claimed? Who do we have then? Alec Torgerson? Who the fuck? So come on down to Martha Ford's Ford Field. The clock is ticking and the spot won't be open forever. If you'd like to schedule an interview, be sure to call us at 1-800-GET-HEAD. The number again is 1-800-438-432. Yeah, what? I can't say get head. It's a sexual innuendo? I didn't know that. It's in the script. I'm just reading what is in front of me. Well, maybe you should change the phone number. It makes sense. Like, get head coach. Well, look here, Bob. It's not my problem. It's yours, you son of a bitch.
All right, there you go. So that was a fun take on what we might need to do to get ourselves a new head coach. John Whitaker, again, at Wrath of John with underscores in between the words. I really loved how he cycled through the running backs. it kind of put a finer point on some of the less than stellar play we've had this year.
We need to move on. I'm with him.
All right. So, I mean, what's the big selling point? Let's talk about it. Why is Detroit the right landing spot for the coach? Why are we going to either entice Mike Vrabel or Matt Patricia or whoever your favorite guy, Pat Shurmur, who's your favorite guy? How are we going to entice them to come here? What makes Detroit an exciting place to coach? Riz, tell me something. Tell me something right, that makes us great.
Oh, I got a bunch of reasons. We will run out of tape and bandwidth if I go off on all the good things that they have. I'll nutshell it. Number one, you have the franchise quarterback. No other job opening has that. Number two, you have $60 million or so, give or take, in cap room. Not many other teams have that. There are a couple of openings that do have some cap resources, but nothing like what this team can do based on what they have already. This is a 9-7 team that has their quarterback in place, that has an owner with motivation to win because she's old. She's in her 90s. She's ready to win now. She wants to go out with a Super Bowl win, or at least a playoff win. The other thing, and this sort of plays into what Casey is going to talk about around the division. Look at what's going on around the division. The Bears are still not there. I like their coaching hire, and I like what they've done. But look at the Packers. The Packers are disintegrating in our midst right at the moment. They just lost Elliott Wolf and Alonzo Highsmith to Cleveland. They've lost Dom Capers, their defensive coordinator, forever. He's gone. He needed to go. They've lost several assistant coaches. They are probably going to lose in the next year or two Clay Matthews and some other key players off that team. They are on the precipice of becoming a very bad team very quickly. This is a golden opportunity. Yeah, Minnesota's still really good, and you know, I happen to think they're going to win this weekend. But this is a definitely great situation for the Lions to be in, for any coach to come in and say, "Wow, where can I go where I can win right away?" And oh, by the way, if I win here, I'll be a god because nobody has ever done it before. And you better believe that will appeal to the egos of coaches who would take on that challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of and you make a great case, Riz. Good job there.
Thank you.
And I would put that up against the New York job. I know his family lives there, but you know what? He's in Boston and he's working days, long, long days. He basically doesn't see his family during the season, is the way it's said. Will they leave New York to come to Detroit? Probably not. How much would really change? Probably not much. As far as seeing his family, I think the pluses here in Detroit outweigh the minuses, because while success in New York is, you know, makes you a superstar, it's very short lived. You don't get legend status. A dynasty like a Belichick dynasty would get that kind of legendary status. The Big Tuna, right? I guess he's, I mean, what do you think? How much weight does he still carry around New York?
Oh, he's still wildly popular. I happen to think he's a little bit overrated. Parcells never won without Belichick. That's important to note. But yeah, he certainly was a very fine coach and belongs in the Hall of Fame because he's famous for being a very good coach, and he deserves that. He said a lot of cool things. You know, you are what your record says you were.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering how much the city, because the guy who wins in
to
Detroit,
some people, the city will matter.
Well, the guy who wins in Detroit will never have to buy a meal, not just in Detroit, but probably anywhere he goes in the world again. Right? It's legend status. The person that wins
absolutely.
In Detroit. And there's something to be said for that. You can go and win and join a cadre of like Parcells and some of the other folks that have been in New York, but you kind of just blend in. This is a way to really become a god amongst men in Detroit.
Right. And I'll give you an example of that. Sean Payton in New Orleans is that way, and he's from the same coaching tree. He's a splinter off the Belichick coaching line, or Parcells rather. And he won a Super Bowl with the New Orleans Saints. He's having a good year this year, but he's had some lean years in recent times. But everybody's like, oh, we can't get rid of Sean Payton. He's the man. He won for us.
And he won it a real big time, right? That meant so much to the city, too. Which is, look, whoever wins any time in Detroit, you win a Super Bowl in Detroit, it's going to be a big time for the city, period.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So, and that will appeal to certain people. There are okay, the high school recruiting thing's going on right now. There are a lot of recruits who want to go to Alabama because they're the best and they know that they can win and they'll compete against the best. There are also people who will want to go to Eastern Michigan because they see that this is a program that can be on the rise and they can be a big part of something that's emerging and being something special while they're there. That was PJ Fleck's sales pitch at Western Michigan. You know what? It worked pretty damn well. You know what? It's going to work in Minnesota too. That's a different type of personality, but Detroit kind of embodies that sort of personality. The guy who's like, yeah, I want to be the upstart, you know, Detroit versus everybody, you know, that person will buy into that. And that's sort of what we want, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I think you have to, you can't come in with that kind of, that diva.
You don't want a guy who's a front runner by choice.
Like an OBJ, you know, would never survive. He would just wither in Detroit. People would hate him. He'd hate the city. It just wouldn't work, right?
I mean, as good as he is, that's why nobody is ever a Dallas Cowboys fan and a Detroit Lions fan. Aside from the fact they play in the same conference, it's a totally different mindset.
Yeah,
it really is.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we'll talk more a little bit about the hype. You know, this is a little one. This is one I put together, and I'm looking for your opinion, Riz, and you guys as well. This kind of came out of the idea that I was starting to put. You know, we got the live show intro, and it had a lot of Caldwell in it, and it's 2 years old. It was hype, and got a lot of praise. Thank you guys for that. But I was like, I got to put a new one together. And I started thinking about it and checking music and some other stuff. And I was like, man, you know what I really need is I need some quotes from coaches, right? And I don't have a coach to get quotes from. So what I did is I started rethinking what I was doing. I said, I'm going to put together a little hype piece for hiring a coach. And I got this one put together. It's my hope is that it builds both tension and excitement. So you tell me if that works for you, Riz. Here's the hype piece for the new coach that I put together.
This morning, I spoke to Coach Caldwell, informed him of the decision not to retain him as the head coach of the Lions. I feel like there was a need in change in the leadership of this team. And starting today, I'll be leading that search to hire a new head coach for the Lions. At the end of the day, it's want to take this team to the next level. And to me, that's, you know, winning championships. That's winning playoff games, and that's winning the Super Bowl.
Matthew's got it. Gets to Abdullah right side. Got a hole. Abdullah 20. Abdullah 10. Six the man at the eight. And dances into the end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions.
There's one goal here, and one promise I made to Mrs. Ford is winning.
Run.
Minnesota from their own 28, 38 seconds left. Bradford's got it on third down, sets and throws. It is intercepted. Darius Slay's got it at the 30. Slay inside the 25. ball, or was he down? They're going to say he was down at the 20. Oh, Darius, how big are you, young man? How big are you?
Run.
What do you think? Did I accomplish it? Did I get there?
I love having Dan come in at the end. That's awesome.
He's awesome.
I'm not a fan of the EDM underpinnings there, but I like the quotes.
Oh, you're not an A1 Leashin. I went with that because I felt like it built a little bit of tension, and I think it fits really well right now with where we are. I mean, I've been talking to Brian and I Prevail. I want to see if I can work something out with him too.
Now I'm all for
right.
I'm all for that.
Right.
Brian brings it. Fun band, man.
Yeah, for sure. So this is just a little piece right now, point in time. But like I said, I was trying to capture some of the tension that's behind finding a coach, but some of the excitement of what it really could be. So that's where the music came from. Case, were you okay with that? Did you feel good? Did it get you a little bit of hype?
Oh, definitely. I'm feeling excited all of a sudden.
All right, let's really quick touch on some stuff. You guys know the whole shopping deal. We're going to tell you one more time. You're looking to go to Amazon, you're looking to get your Lions gear, or you're looking to get any kind of seats to a concert or a sporting event, you head to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. There's links in the sidebar, or you can just hit the main menu and hit the shop link, and you can get to Amazon or SeatGeek or Fanatics from there to get all those different kinds of things. If you stop off and do it at our place first, they give us a little kickback. They say, hey, you know, you referred us over there. Thanks a lot for that, and they help us out. It's a great way to help the show by doing something you were going to do anyway, and there's no pop-ups or anything else. It just gives us a hand and helps us out. So make sure to use those links anytime you're going to go to any of those sites. Amazon, Fanatics, SeatGeek, you need your concert tickets? DetroitLionsPodcast.com, baby. All right, we'll move on now. We got an honest question, and this is, I think, important in all the conversation around coaches. And it's a very good question. And Riz, because you are the guy, and I'm with you here. This is my guy, although I'm leaning on Patricia, but you know, this is kind of my guy too. make the case, okay? Honest question, why Mike Vrabel? This is from GI Jim Bob in the subreddit. And I thought nobody was going to be able to make a better case for Mike Vrabel to Detroit than you would. So do you mind doing that for us, man?
Sure. I've been selling it for a very long time. As you know, I've done it on this show. In fact, we did the post-Thanksgiving show of the 2016 season.
Yeah, that's
when I first brought him up. And the reason why, even though the Texans defense was not impressive last year, in fact, they gave up the most yards in the league, there are still a lot of reasons to really like Mike Vrabel. The number one thing that sells him to me is that he is a naturally charismatic leader. And it's not just the guys that he's coaching. It's everybody on that Texans team. He resonates with them. He's a former player. Players remember watching him play. Like, oh yeah, that guy was really good for a long time. He played in the league forever. He played in a variety of schemes under a variety of different style of coaches. And I think that has given him the ability to understand what each individual player can respond to. One of the things with Jim Caldwell was he was a very patient and quiet man. He didn't necessarily do all that well in coaching the guys who needed somebody to be in their face to get them to go. As you know, there are different people respond to teaching and instruction in different ways. There are some people where they really like it, you know, if you get in their face and challenge them. And Vrabel can do that, but he's also a guy who can be the quiet guy that, you know, puts his hand on the shoulder and, you know, gives positive reinforcement when something goes wrong. I've seen him do that, and I haven't seen other candidates do that. That doesn't mean that they can't, just means I haven't seen him do it. I love how much he developed the young players on the team, and I'm not talking like J.J. Watt, because J.J. was fantastic before he got there.
Yeah.
What he has done with Jadeveon Clowney is remarkable. And yes, he was the number one pick in the draft, but go back 2-3 years ago and everybody's why the hell did they do this? You know, he was hurt a lot. He was fairly one-dimensional. He wasn't all that enthused about playing. And now look at him. He is a freaking monster. He is far beyond what anybody could ever expect Ziggy Ansah to be. And, you know, he's done it, by the way, also playing two different positions at the same time. That's Vrabel. Vrabel made Whitney Mercilus into a second team All-Pro last year, and you better believe the Texans missed him this year. He developed DJ Reader, a nondescript middle of the draft pick from Clemson, into one of the three best nose tackles in the league, with a little help from Vince Wilfork being there last year. But they got rid of Wilfork because they knew that Vrabel had this guy ready to go. And you know what? He was damn good this year before he got hurt. I love what he did. They had an undrafted linebacker last year, Dylan Cole, wound up being one of the best rookie linebackers. He was arguably better than Jared Davis. And I say that, as you guys know, I am a Jared Davis fan.
Yeah.
He was really, really, he was an impact player. And again, his game developed. I love how he has developed, especially in the front seven, the young talent. He's not had a lot of success with the cornerbacks. Their cornerbacks are trash. You're going to hear people that want Kevin Johnson when the Texans cut him. No, you really don't. You really don't. But he's able to adapt. They have run four man fronts there. They've run two man fronts there. They are adaptive to the opponent. He's very good at disguising blitzes. They come out, they blitz their corners a lot. They will blitz the slot from one side and the free safety from the other. With dropping, they actually dropped a Reader into coverage on one of those, and he almost got an interception out of it. He has that sort of creativity as a schemer, but that's not where he's at his best. He's at his best at mentoring, at bringing along, at getting everybody on the same page and going forward in the same direction. And that's not an easy thing for a coach that has not been a head coach before and has not been a coach all that long. He's only been a coach for, I think this was his sixth season of coaching, first at Ohio State for a year, and since then he's been with the Texans. I love what he's done, and people around Houston will. It's interesting. Texans fans are disappointed that he didn't perform all that well this year, but they also sort of understand, you know, all the injuries that they had, and with the cornerbacks that they have, that his hands were kind of tight, and he still had them competitive through at least the first half of the year. Then it just went off the rails when their offense started to tank too. And I'm a big believer that he is going to be a successful coach. And you know, personality means something when you're a coach. I think one of the knocks that we had on Jim Caldwell was that he was not an alpha male personality. It took the players time to get to accept that. And I think that they have done a good job of bringing in players who sort of needed that, you know, gentle grandfatherly Papa Bear thing. And Vrabel will be different than that, but I think he can also, you know, hint on that and not necessarily like Rex Ryan. You had your certain players that had to, Rex had to have certain types of players. If they didn't have the personality that he needed, he couldn't coach them. And that was pretty obvious. And that's obvious with a lot of other people. Jim Schwartz was the same way. I don't get that vibe at all from Mike Vrabel. And that's a big point when you're building a team. So, end rant.
No, that's good. Let me ask you, is there anything that leads you to believe that he has the ability to manage in-game, your challenges, your clock, all those things? I don't know that I've seen any indicators of his ability to do that or anything that leads me to believe he can or can't do that. But that's been a big issue with Caldwell, and I'm wondering what you think in the world of Vrabel, how that might change or stay the same.
I don't know. I don't think you can know with a defensive coach, and you wouldn't know that with Patricia either. That's why I think coordinator hires are going to be very important, and that's one of the reasons why I'm a little scared at keeping Cooter, because Cooter sort of did that in conjunction with Caldwell last year. And maybe he would have a different voice with Caldwell gone. We'll see about that. But I don't really have a feel for that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and it's still the Cooter thing is an interesting story to me. Just that no interest and he's here. There's something we don't know, and I don't know if it's negatively, positively affecting us. I'm not sure. Case, you got anything to say about Mike Vrabel, or are you ready to move on?
Well, no. I mean, I agree. Like, we are stuck in this conundrum with Jim Bob Cooter, where he's done great things with the pass game for this offense, but overall the offense is still really struggling. Obviously the pass protection and the run game are still major, major, major issues, and how much of that you can lay on him is, you know, is up to grabs. You know, I can't necessarily complain about the idea of trying to keep him on under a new coach because he's only been here for a year and a half. He's young. He's extremely young. I think he's about my age. And while I don't feel young, I think, you know, in comparison to where the NFL is, it's pretty young. So, like, I'm not necessarily upset with the idea of keeping Cooter. He's going to have a very short leash, I think. You know, if they keep him on under Patricia or Vrabel,
it's interesting. I would think that they might just let him go because he's been on a leash, or maybe it's a different kind of leash.
I have no idea.
Feels that, like
this,
you know, based
this
on
this very difficult
based
situation.
On Caldwell's too, history in other positions, right? He had Ray Rice. He had a lot of different running backs that were quality backs that never performed under him. And it just feels like maybe, just maybe, he was the one holding Cooter back, and that's why we've got the Cooter stacked up over here. So we'll see. But
I think that has to be our hope, isn't it? Don't we all hope that?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, the thing that's really weird about it is how similar Cooter was to Lombardi, even after Lombardi was gone. That's the thing that makes me point towards Caldwell, because they aren't that similar of guys, the Lombardi and Cooter people.
Yeah. Well, again, Cooter made the pass offense work. If you look at the second half of this last season, they were on fire in terms of getting Tate and Jones and Galladay and Ebron. It was working for the pass offense, but the run offense is still shit. So. Can that be fixed with Cooter? And the question and the answer is, I don't know. I really don't know. I really don't know the answer to that. I really have no idea if the next head coach would be willing or not to take that chance. But it seems like the organization as a whole would rather give him another chance. All things being equal, which won't be, so we won't know how it'll turn out until we know who the head coach is going to be. But, you know, all things being equal, I think they'd be okay with giving him one more shot at it before trying somebody else.
Yep. All right, let's widen this out a little bit, because, you know, we talked about how these rumors are crazy and they drive thinking, and it feels like we've even kind of cornered ourselves with the Patricia thing, which there was no real data to tell us that Patricia was the front runner. This is fans and maybe even some beat writers getting excited without a whole lot of information. Vrabel the same way. Oh, he's the second choice for going there. And it's all really related to that New England connection, but it's a wider search than that. There's other guys out there. If we kind of back out of that, Riz, who do you think maybe the top one or two candidates that aren't Patricia and aren't Vrabel would be in Bob Quinn's list of choices here?
I think Pat Shurmur is the one that stands out.
Yep.
And some of that is the fact he does have a coaching experience. Now, you don't want to hear what his coaching experience was. He was the head coach of the Cleveland Browns in 2014 and 15.
Yeah, but you know anybody who coached the Browns has a bit of a past.
Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick, the last coach to win a playoff game in Cleveland.
Yes.
By the way.
And
so Shurmur's time in Cleveland was interesting because he actually had a decent squad for a little bit, but then it all just went to hell, as all things in Cleveland do, because that's how you go 0-16. He's a creative mind, and I love what he's done with Minnesota. The fact that he's made Case Keenum into a viable MVP candidate, and developed guys in a passing game around Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. Yeah, those guys are pretty good. They're not better than Golden Tate and Marvin Jones, and I'd be excited to see what he could do with that. I think it would be very interesting if he got another shot. He's sort of the only real retread that we're hearing being mentioned. And he is getting looks from other teams as well. And he's an interesting one. And I don't think, And it's probably because he did coach the Browns that people are like, yeah, we don't want anything to do with that. I think you have to put that sort of behind, because that's just, it's an untenable situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, Shermer's the other one. I think he's the next down the list for me as well. So we'll have to see. You know, news is breaking. And I have to talk really, you know, Case and I will do, it's a throwback for those that don't remember last season and the season before. As different news broke and things changed with the season, we would do a quick takes kind of podcast, a little quick 20-minute job with reactions to big news. So you'll definitely hear from us when that coaching announcement is made, and we'll put something together. So head coaching, a lot of stuff, a lot of rumors flying, a lot of things to think about. But, you know, in the words of the douchiest quarterback in the NFC North, R-E-L-A-X, just relax and get through it, guys. It's nothing to freak out about. And it'll all become clear, and it'll all be okay. It will be, I promise you. So with that, we're going to move on to the next topic, because it's getting to be that time of the year. Shrine Game is coming up, and that really kind of kicks off draft season. A whole, you know, mock drafts, a couple people put some together, but the Shrine Game is when you start getting to look at some of that talent outside of the kind of pre-scripted bowl game kind of scenarios. And I don't mean the games themselves are scripted, but everything's tightly controlled there. Now we get a little bit of more closer looks to get to more interaction and to see what's going on with these guys. We've got our man, the Riz. He's going to be feet on the ground down there. Or I should say down here, right, Riz?
That's right. I will be there. I get in Sunday evening, and we'll be at all the practice sessions, and we'll also be at the game itself, which is sort of semi-inconsequential. It's a pretty impressive group of talent this year. It's better than it has been in the last couple of years. And if you're not familiar with what the Shrine Game does, that is where over half the players that are drafted in the rounds 5 through 7 are Shrine Game alumni. And that, you know, if you know me at all, you know that I love the late round of the draft. The third day of the NFL draft is my favorite day of the year. Just because I watch those games. You know, I'm a Mac guy. It's fun for me to follow these. And this will be the 6th or 7th year that I'm coming down for that. And it really is. This is the first time where there will be several coaches there. The Lions obviously don't have a coach, so it'll be tough to get a beat on what they have there. But Caldwell was down. They're usually there Monday and Tuesday. And for most coaches, it's the first time they've ever seen any of these players. This is the first week where the coaches really start to get involved in the draft process. Because contrary to popular belief, these guys do not watch college football during the college football season. They binge watch now in getting ready for a player. They'll go with the scouting. They'll go to the scouting department and like, hey, let me get 5 games on Deshaun Hand from Alabama. And what do you got for me on him? And that's how the coaches get involved in it. And some do it more than others, but this is a chance for me also to start talking with more scouts around the league. And yes, Lions scouts, they will all be there. And I generally get a pretty good idea of who they're looking at, what positions they're looking at. Also, who they're not looking at. What's that?
Who they're taking home for the evening.
Yes, exactly. watch out for the Adam's apple. That's a pretty dead giveaway. You gotta watch out for that, John Fox. Did I say that out loud? Oops.
So there's a lot of stuff they're looking at there.
There's a lot of stuff going on. Yeah, I mean, I watched a NFC North coach, not from Detroit, try to pick up a couple last year.
Wow.
So there's a lot of fun extracurricular stuff going on too.
Was that on a bet, or was that like his own impetus that drove that?
Oh no, he was going for it. That was his scene.
Wow, nice. Hey, gotta give him credit. Gotta go for the whole team, I guess. So yeah, and we got some other festivities. You and I will be getting together. We'll be recording live. We'll be holding hands.
We will.
Eye to eye.
Yes, we will.
And we'll have some good interaction on that. And I'll be joining Mr. Riz hopefully during the week, depending. Got some scheduling things we got to work out, but certainly there'll be some evening festivities that we'll follow up on and report on afterwards to see who takes how many couples home where.
The Toasted Monkey, baby. It's where it happens.
Yep, that's right. So next week, that's it, guys. This is the start of draft season. We're going to be, you know, there's a lot of focus on the coaches right now. And we hope in the next couple weeks to get that cleared up. depending on what happens with New England, I think things bricks will start falling into place as soon as they're out of the playoffs, whenever that happens. And then we focus directly on the draft. And it really is, you know, for a long time, I was like all about the season, and then the draft and the off season was kind of secondary. I've really found a new love for draft season and the off season and all the hype and build up and work that goes into getting ready for the regular season. I love the games. Don't get me wrong. I still love that. But boy, there is so much that happens around this. And it's just, it really is exciting and enthralling. And you can learn so much watching these guys work.
This is when you learn about your organization and how competent they are or not. And it's one of the reasons why I am very optimistic on Bob Quinn. And I'll speak for Chris Burke from The Athletic in Detroit. He's a big Bob Quinn fan too, because we're together at these things. We interact quite a bit. We both see the work and how the Lions are approaching things and how some other teams are approaching things. And I don't want to you know, fillet Bob Quinn too much here, but we got a good one, guys. Believe it.
I do 100%. I'm fully on the hashtag Trust in Quinn crew. You can just tell there's something there. And Case isn't. Case is, he needs to prove him something. And at least as we talked about it last week, the bar is a little bit low in that Case only needs a playoff win out of him. But I think he was handed a polished turd when he started, and he's come a long way with this team. So I believe the move, I can't heartily criticize anything he's done so far. So he gets my trust until he screws it up. You want to fill in on anything there, Case?
No, you got all the bases covered there for me. So,
all right, buddy. I'm starting to get to know you after 140 episodes. We get to know each other a little bit. All right. Well, with that, it's time for Case to shine. It's his world famous, known far and wide from the North Pole to the South Pole. Everybody knows when Case is going to take us around the division.
Going old school.
Remember that one, Case?
Oh, I do. I do.
That carries around so long.
Fond memories.
All right. What do you got for us, buddy?
Well, we'll start big news this week, because we'll start at the bottom with the Bears, and they picked up Nagy as the we're going to have to work on our pronunciation there, because I'm not exactly sure how it's pronounced. But the offensive coordinator from the Chiefs, Bill Nagy.
It's like the ex, Nagy.
So anyway, he is the new head coach for the Bears. And the whole idea behind this for them is that he is super in love with Trubisky, like almost in a creepy way. Yeah. But we're talking about a guy who had extremely limited experience. If I'm making a comparison, there's some comparison maybe to be made to Vrabel in terms of lack of experience coming from where he is. Yeah. But, you know, he comes out of the whole Andy Reid coaching tree, which is a huge thing that everybody thinks is automatically successful. But there's a lot of reasons not to assume that this is like an automatic surefire thing. First of all, he has to turn Trubisky, who had like 2,000 some yards passing this year, I'd have to check the exact stats, into a real franchise quarterback. And he's got his work cut out for him.
Yeah, it's a big job.
In my opinion, that is not a given thing that Trubisky is anywhere near franchise quarterback status this year.
No,
there were some good things we saw to him. There were some bad things we saw to him.
Throwing to the left was tough for him.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, no, biscuits trouble. I'm not big on the Nagy hire. And a lot of people,
I'm say not super impressed.
Yeah, a lot of people are. Oh yeah, that's good. I think this is. And look, I could be wrong, and I'll admit it when I'm wrong. But I just think this is a. This is a fast hire for somebody that maybe I'd have been looking for some of the better talent out there to see if I could pick it up. I don't know. This just seems weird, and I think they're going to regret it.
It doesn't thrill me. in terms of like, I mean, if I'm a Bears fan, which I'm not, swipe left on Bears fans. But if I'm a Bears fan, this doesn't thrill me. It's a very boom or bust situation with a heavy emphasis on the boom, on the bust.
Another Tinder reference? Or are we just
we're doing whatever we can.
Okay.
It could work out for them, because if he can turn Trubisky into the franchise quarterback that they've been lacking, I mean, that's a huge thing for any fan base. But I have a hard time seeing this guy, given you know, his background and his, you know, where he's coming from, what he's done, really elevating them into a playoff team. So a lot of what they've got going on, and we're going to transition into the Packers as we do this, is the Vic Fangio thing. Mm-hmm. And if they can hang on to him, I think that gives them a much better chance of turning into a playoff team in the near future. But the Packers are out for blood and trying to pick up anybody they can out of the division.
I'm thinking they're bleeding, much less more than out for blood, right? I mean, they lost a lot of talent in the coaching
ranks. Oh, yeah. Boy, well, they're a complete disaster right now, which is why I would almost prefer to see the Packers get Vic Fangio than the Bears to keep him. Because even if the Packers pick up Vic Fangio and he takes over their defense, which I think probably improves their defense a little bit, mm-hmm. They're so disjointed right now in terms of their coaching, their GM situation, I don't know that I can give everybody the full details on where everything on that situation sits at this moment. When we talk again in a week, I will hopefully be able to elaborate more significantly. But they're sitting in a place where their GM situation is Mike McCarthy has been quasi promoted to both head coach and GM. Which is not a situation I think any Packers fans are thrilled about. They've brought in and released several guys. Nobody who is theoretically going to change that organization in a monumental way. It's really a bizarre situation that I think we need a few weeks to kind of
parse it out.
Dissect.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, I think we're looking at a Packers organization that is not in good shape at the very top level, which is not something that we're used to, because while Ted Thompson may not have been the, you know, greatest GM of all time, they were pretty good consistently at bringing in talent through the drafts. And that is now thrown into question. Whether or not they will still be able to draft well is no longer a given for the Packers franchise.
Boy, that's really exciting. That's the what could become of Aaron Rodgers. All of a sudden he turns into the guy who, you know, doesn't have any quarterback wins against winning teams anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Oh, boy. If we're one of the winning teams, I'm happy to...
Yeah,
be the case. Yep. Now, let's talk about the sleepy Vikings. They had the week off, huh?
I don't want to talk about the Vikings because I'm sitting in a situation right here where I'm looking at the Vikings as a team that not only did they exceeded their expectations, they exceeded my expectations for them as well. They were a better team than I gave them credit for early in the year, and I don't like admitting that.
And Riz was the one midway through the season saying, "Whoa, back to your excitement." Remember, he was just right on top of that. Damn it.
Yes, he was. And I still think that a lot of that had to do with a growth as they went along. I don't know that they were the team they are now early in the year. I think they grew. But that is problematic. When you see a team grow like that, that is a problem going forward. They have that growth potential still going forward. And while we don't know exactly what's going to happen with their quarterback situation, Case Keenum, the Sam Bradford, Teddy Bridgewater whole affair, we don't know who's going to be their quarterback next year. It all feels like they're at approximately the same level. And I think we're going to see, I mean, if I'm guessing right now, we're going to see Teddy Bridgewater as their quarterback. And there's full potential for that to bust and not work out. But I think more likely what we're looking at is just like a consistent level of where they've been at this year. And the problem with the Vikings is that they've got most of their talented players under contract going forward. So we're looking at a very Seahawks-esque defense. If you want to go back quite a few years here to where the Seahawks were when they had quite a few draft hits and were able to build a very quality defense around a group of young players, I think that's where we're sitting at with the Vikings. And you never know how these things are going to play out. But if I'm making a prediction right now today, the Vikings probably are going to be the division leaders for a few years here. A lot will depend on who the Lions get as their head coach. A lot will depend on where that head coach can take them. A lot will depend on if Aaron Rodgers coming back and if the Packers can fix their defense. But if I had money, which I don't have money, but if I did have money and I was absolutely desperate to hang on to that money, that would probably be the place I put it, was with the Vikings winning the division for a few years here.
That's no good. All right. Well, we'll circle back to the last piece of news. It's injury news and the Lions. This tweet just came out. TJ Jones, surgery went great today. Thank you for the well wishes and love. Positive vibes and a mindset to attack my rehab are going to be key in coming back ASAP. He says he's going to be back ahead of schedule. So best of luck, TJ. Glad to hear everything went well in the surgery.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
like TJ.
Yeah.
Want him back.
Yeah, for sure. And on that, we're going to close out the show this week. Remember, we need your involvement. We love it when you use those comments in the subreddit to give us feedback. So don't stop doing that. Also, don't forget about us on Patreon, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, or just go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on the Patreon link. Anything you can donate and share with the podcast is most appreciated. And of course, there's also just a regular old donate button for a one-time donation via PayPal right there on the website. Don't be afraid to use that if you don't want to sign up for the monthly thing. Also, check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, or on the Twitter machine at DET Lions Podcast, DET Lions Podcast. It is the very best place to see Case.
Ladies, please swipe right.
That's right. Give us a call via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or whip out the regular phone and call us on the Lions line, 929-33-LIONS. It's 929-335-4667. Go there, give a call, get a chance to hear yourself on the show. Lastly, don't forget to go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com, subscribe to the podcast so we can come in your little box automatically. Thank you for tuning in, and we're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. It's your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Let's bring it in here together. Let's go.
Woo! Let's go, baby. Lions on three. 1, 2, 3.
Lions!
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.
This morning, I spoke to Coach Caldwell, informed him of the decision not to retain him as the head coach of the Lions. I feel like there was a need in change in the leadership of this team, and starting today, I'll be leading that search to hire a new head coach for the Lions. At the end of the day, it's wanted to take this team to the next level, and to me, that's winning championships, that's winning playoff games, and that's winning the Super Bowl.
Matthew's got it. Pins to Abdul right side. Got a hole. Abdul 20. Abdul.
shakes the man at the eight and dances into the end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. He dives in. Touchdown. Did he get it? Yes, sir, he did. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Malcolm took it across, and the Lions have taken the lead with 12 seconds to go.
There's one goal here, and one promise I made to Mrs. Ford is winning.
Run.
Minnesota from their own 28, 38 seconds left. Bradford's got it on third down, sets and throws. It is intercepted. Darius Slay's got it at the 30. Slay inside the 25. Slay lost the football, or was he down? They're going to say he was down at the 20. Oh, Darius, how big are you, young man? How big are you?
Run.